woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And the disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. I'm sure that you have heard the common saying, God helps those that help themselves. You may have seen recently where the media, they were making fun of one of the presidential aides for publicly declaring that the Bible says that God helps those that help themselves. Well, the Bible doesn't say that, to the best of my knowledge, and they were quick to point that out. I do believe that perhaps we have more of a scriptural foundation to say that God helps those that cannot help themselves. Now, I do understand that saying. I do believe that certainly there's ways that it could be true that God would help those that help themselves. I don't believe that people ought to just refuse to work and you know, expect God to give them everything. I mean, the Bible tells us that there are things that we are expected to do. But we find, I believe, again, in the Scriptures, I believe we find much more evidence of God helping those who have something wherewith they cannot help themselves. And I'm convinced that the teaching that we have here in the fifth chapter of Mark, probably you have heard a lot of sermons about the woman with the issue of blood. And I'm convinced that the great teaching there is to show us that healing is wholly of the Lord, completely by His power. And that we do face things in life that no matter how hard that we could try, or no matter how many different ways that we may approach it, there's nothing that we can do about it. And certainly we have a nature that we ourselves do not have the power to change. So there are things that we simply cannot do for ourselves. And I think often about the scripture that we find in Jeremiah chapter 13, where he asked these questions. Can the Ethiopian change his skin, or the leopard his spots? Then may you do well who are accustomed to do evil. And of course the answer is the Ethiopian cannot change his skin, and the leopard cannot change his spots, And we cannot change our nature to do well from doing evil. We have an evil, sinful nature. That's what we are. We are sinners by nature. That's what the Bible teaches us very plainly. Now, Adam was a sinner by choice. He was a sinner by choice. Adam lived, he was created in a holy state. And he had the choice of whether or not to become a sinner. And he chose to disobey God rather than to obey God, and he became a sinner completely by his choice. But since that time, everybody that has been born of the seed of Adam has been born sinners. The Bible teaches us, the psalmist David made the statement. He said, behold, in the 51st Psalm, I believe it was, he said, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. And if we look in Ephesians chapter 2, Paul writing to the Ephesians, he says, and you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and in sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children, among the children of disobedience, or in the children of disobedience rather, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. And so we have that sinful nature, and we need to be changed. And we simply cannot change our own nature any more than the Ethiopian can change his skin or the leopard his spots. It takes a supernatural power in order to produce that change. If you're lost tonight, you need to be made a new creature in Christ Jesus. You need to be created in Christ Jesus. And that's what the Apostle Paul goes on and says there in Ephesians chapter 2, that it's by grace that we're saved through faith, and that not of ourselves. It's the gift of God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. And there again, the reason, I believe, one of the great reasons that salvation does not come about by works is that we do not have the ability to do enough. We could never accomplish enough to change our nature. There are many, many people in the world today. There are many people within the realm of religion today that they are all about reforming themselves, changing this and changing that, changing this about their life and changing that about their life. Well, certainly, you know, if somebody is doing something that's not good, certainly it's good to change that. But that's never going to change our nature. Whatever we do, you know, however many things that we may do in the flesh, you know, a person could stop doing this, you know, these things that are wrong in their life, they could stop doing this and they could stop doing this and stop doing this, and they could start doing this because it's right, and this and this and so on and so forth. But of all that self-reform, the fact is they would still be a sinner by nature, because that's what we are. We're sinners by nature. And we have a great account here, I believe, of a woman that found out that she had a problem. And here we're even talking about a physical problem, but she had a problem that she could not change. She could not do anything about it. I believe that we find a statement recorded in the book of Jonah that really, I believe, explains it very well. And Jonah simply said this. He said, salvation is of the Lord. It's of the Lord. It's completely of the Lord. And so we have this account here of this woman who was very ill and had this problem for 12 long years. And she certainly did make every attempt, from what we read here, to find the remedy, to get this taken care of. And she had spent all of her living, and she had gone to the physicians and had spent on them, spent there among those physicians all that she had, all of her monetary wealth that she had. She spent all of it trying to get better. Do you know that the richest person in the world today, a person could, if a person had billions and billions and billions of dollars, do you know that the gift of God is something that cannot be bought? It doesn't make any difference how much money that somebody may have. The gift of salvation is a free gift to those who will come in the right condition. It is a free gift, but it cannot be purchased. And it cannot be earned. And so, again, she had this terrible issue of blood for all of these years. And I've been blessed in my life thus far, it seems, with good health. And I really don't know what it's like to have something that afflicts your body and to just have it for year after year after year after year and not be able to get rid of it and just go to the doctor over and over and over and over and just try every method that there is and spend all your money and just not be able to get past it. But I'm sure that this had to become very depressing to her and had to no doubt try her emotionally. I'm persuaded to believe that by the time that this lady came to Jesus, that she was really distraught about her horrible condition. She'd spent all her money. She had tried for years. And not only was she not better, but the Bible tells us that she just continued to grow worse. But she heard of Jesus, and she believed that if she could touch him, she believed if she could touch the hem of his garment, that she could be made whole. You know, if you're here tonight and you're lost, it's my prayer that you will reach out to the Lord in total faith, in complete faith, in unfeigned faith, believing with all of your heart that the Lord can give you what you need, that the Lord can save you by your grace. Because when this woman came to Jesus, she did not come to him hoping that he would take, what the doctors had done for her and that he would add a little bit to it and that he would help them out. She came to him completely relying upon Jesus and upon nothing or nobody else. Completely relying. trusting the Lord. She had already well learned that those other things didn't work, that those other things were not going to work, that she didn't have enough money to get a healing, that there were not enough physicians in the world to heal her. They just could not help her. I thank God for men like Brother Collins. I thank the Lord for good doctors. But men have their limits, don't they? Men have their limits. God doesn't have any limits. God has all power in heaven and in earth. God can do all things. And so when she came to the Lord and she placed her total trust in Him, she found what she needed. She was healed. She was made whole. She came to Him. I love the change that takes place. And again, here we're talking about a physical condition, a physical illness that she had had all of these years and all of these things and all the effort that she had put forth to be made better. But she was growing worse physically. But the Bible tells us that when she came to the Lord and she trusted Him, she just believed with all of her heart that if she could just reach out and touch the hem of His garment, that she could be made whole. The Bible tells us that the result of that was that Jesus said unto her, "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague." And not only did the Lord heal her from this, but He made it known unto her that she had been healed. She did not leave here. She did not leave the presence of the Lord Jesus wondering whether or not she had been healed. She did not walk away and say, "Well, I guess I'm going to give it a month or so here and see if the Lord has actually healed me." The Bible tells us that immediately that when that miraculous power, that virtue went out of Jesus, the Bible says that immediately she felt in her body that she had been made whole of the plague. Now, that's what happened to me when I got saved. But I didn't feel in my body that I had been made whole of a physical plague, but I did feel in my soul that I had been made whole of that spiritual plague that I had, of that spiritual sickness, that sickness of sin. And I'm telling you, when God bestowed His grace upon me, I felt immediately in my soul that He had made me whole of that affliction, that He had saved me by His grace. But by His help, I was trusting Him and Him alone. And nobody else, no other power, no human intervention whatsoever. I was trusting in the Lord. I realized in that He was my only hope. Just as this woman realized that the Lord Jesus Christ was her only hope. Now listen, I don't want to discourage anybody from doing these things, because they're good things to do. But listen, you cannot get saved by coming to church. You can't get saved by nothing more than kneeling at a bench. Now, that's a good thing to do. And as I said, I'm not trying to discourage anybody from that. But you can't get saved if that's what you're trusting. The only way that anybody ever gets saved is when they place all of their trust in the Lord to save them. That's the point where we find salvation. You know, truly, and this is my belief, this woman was not saved because she touched the Lord's garment. She was saved because she trusted Him in faith. She was healed because she trusted Him to heal her. You see, Jesus makes it plain that it was her faith that did that. That it was because of her faith. You know, think about what happened here. Here, the Lord was in a crowd of people. And He was being thronged. And I, when I read this, I get the picture in my mind that He was in close quarters there. And that there were people all around Him. And no doubt they were bumping Him and they were touching Him. And I believe that's why His disciples had such amazement when He asked them, "Who touched me? Who touched my clothes?" And, you know, they said, "Lord, look at the situation here. There's people all around you, and you expect that we could tell you who it was that touched you." But you see, Jesus knew that somebody had touched Him in faith. He knew He wasn't talking just about physical touch. He knew that He had been touched by faith. And I'm persuaded to know that even though the question was asked, that the Lord Jesus knew exactly who had touched Him. He knew who had touched Him. He knew that this woman had touched Him in a very special way. She had reached out in faith and had touched the Lord Jesus Christ. When the Lord saved me, I loved Brother Caden's testimony last week. I've thought about it several times this week. I've told other people about it. I loved when I asked him last week how he knew he was saved. He said, "He touched me." Well, the Lord touched me. Those of you that have been saved, the Lord touched you. But I'll tell you something that we see in this. We see that before this woman received the touch from Jesus, that she had touched Him. She had reached out and touched Him. And then this virtue, this power went out of Him. And the Lord touched her. And He made her whole of the plague. And I want to urge you and encourage you, if you're here tonight and you're lost, to reach out in faith and total trust and touch the Lord Jesus that you might be healed, that you might be saved by His grace. In John chapter 3, verse 16, the Bible tells us, "God so loved the world." Today, when we were at the Chandler Park for the service, Brother Strode led the song, "Love Is Why." Love is why. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I want to tell you something about that word "believeth" there. That whoever believes in Him, I want to tell you what that means. It does not mean to simply believe the facts about Jesus. It doesn't mean to simply believe the fact that He was virgin born. It doesn't mean to believe the fact that He was indeed the Son of God. It does not mean to believe the fact that He went to the cross. It doesn't mean to simply believe the fact that He died for your sins. It doesn't mean to just simply believe the fact that He rose from the dead. Do you have to believe those things? Sure you do. But the word "believeth" there means that whosoever trusts in, relies on, clings to, and entrust the well-being of their soul to Christ shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Trusting your eternal soul into His hands. Believing, trusting that God not only can save you, but trusting that He will save you. I believe when this woman came to Him, she believed in more than His ability to do it. She trusted that He would do this for her, that He would heal her of her plague. Brother Ernest, if you would, I'd like to ask you to get a song ready. God will do for you what you cannot do for yourself. He will save you. He will make you whole. But you have to trust Him with all of your heart. You have to trust Him to do that very thing. As we stand and sing, I want to tell you that the mourner's benches up here, if you want to come and pray, come and pray. If you want to call on the Lord where you're at, call on the Lord where you're at. It's when you trust the Lord Jesus that you'll be saved. That's what happens. It's not the position of the body. It doesn't have anything to do with that. It's the condition of your heart. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. And so while we stand and sing, I urge you, come to Jesus. Come to Jesus, because He has healing. He has healing. And He can touch you and make you whole. Let's sing.
193.